Praise God. Turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 10, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for those that are with us. Thank you, Lord, for our translators. I thank you, Father, for each intercessor. I thank you for Mom, and I thank you for the team, oh God, for each one that stands together for this nation. I thank you, Father, that in spite of what we see in front of us, we're forging ahead with the promises you have given. I thank you, Father, that you are strengthening us and preparing us, equipping us, Lord God, for the days ahead to sound and remain strong in the commission that you have placed upon our lives. Open up your word to us. Open our eyes. Open our ears, Lord God. As you told your disciples, you have eyes to see and ears to hear the word of the Lord. Open up our eyes and our ears, Lord God, that we may hear the word of the Lord tonight in preparation for the days ahead. Settle things around us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and holy name, amen. So last week, I talked about 2022 and the things that the Lord started putting on my heart for 2022, and that it would be the year of the catalyst. And I talked about the Elijah, and I talked about the widow, who, when she took that step of faith, looking into the prophet's eyes, that became a catalyst for provision of God into her life and into her family's life. And so tonight I'd like to talk a little bit more about a catalyst and what that means and what God is saying to us in this hour about this year, in this season that we're heading into. So 1 Kings chapter 10. Now, Solomon, give you a little background. Solomon has built the temple, and he's dedicated the temple to the Lord. And so now we are some time later after he has done this, and the Queen of Sheba has come to see what this king is up to. So, chapter 10, verse 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearer and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." When Solomon built the temple, this was a design that was given by the Lord himself and passed and handed down to Solomon for him to build this temple. When the dedication occurred and the Spirit of the Lord came in, you know, there were tens of thousands of animals that had been sacrificed. And when the Spirit of the Lord came in, the Spirit of the Lord came in with such power and such might that the priests were unable to stand because the presence of God was so strong. When Solomon was asked by the Lord, what would you have me give you? When he was appointed king, he said to the Lord, wisdom, give me wisdom to lead these people. Solomon felt the burden of leading this nation. He had watched his father. He knew history. He had been taught, trained, and prepared. But when the weight of the crown fell upon his head, and the Lord came and said, what would you have me give you? He asked for wisdom. And because of this, God promised him all that he needed to rule this kingdom. God granted him tremendous wisdom. We read this throughout Proverbs. We know that the incredible revelation and understanding, how he judged his people, it spanned into other nations as they heard about this king and the might of his wisdom. Oh, to be known for our wisdom. So when the Queen of Sheba came, she came asking questions. And I talked about the temple when we did our Melchizedek teaching. I was in a study of the temple, the house of the Lord. And the Lord had been teaching me some things about the temple in this time of Solomon's life, in this time with the Queen of Sheba. And when it says there was no more spirit left in her, you see, the Queen of Sheba had come for answers. Not answers of wealth, not answers of power, but answers about Jehovah. And as she poured out her questions, the spirit of revelation came forth through Solomon. And he was able to penetrate whatever knowledge and understanding that she knew coming from an idolatrous land. He was able to penetrate everything that she had learned about the gods of the land she came from. And the spirit of revelation came and poured truth down into her heart. And she believed in the God of the Hebrews. So much so that when she was done, she left her many gifts. She packed up her crew and she went back home. And she established in her nation of Ethiopia, she established the Hebrew religion. And they worshiped there. Now, this would have been almost, you know, between 750 and 900 years before Christ. And they worshiped at this temple the God of the Hebrews. And their people would journey back and forth, having set up the religion and the faith. They journeyed back and forth for the feasts. So if we go all the way forward to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Now this is after the dispersion. Now we had talked last week about the catalyst to expand the church, and that was the martyrdom of Stephen. So here we have the the evangelists, those that have been appointed by the apostles who have been dispersed, and they are raising up and teaching people about the faith. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near quick, and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man shall guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgments was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Now, this eunuch is from the area of the Queen of Sheba that had come to see Solomon. And because Solomon taught her all about Jehovah, she accepted and became and embraced the Hebrew faith. She took it back home, and she raised up the faith in her home country. This eunuch is from her hometown, almost 900 years later. The faith still stood strong because of a catalyst that took place in Solomon's time. The Lord spoke to Philip and he said, Get on your way. You got a ways to travel. He traveled 100 miles. To come into contact with this eunuch who was on his way home from celebrating the feast. 100 miles. That would take a man at a good pace close to a week. 100 miles. Philip got up and he obeyed and he went. After he led him to the Lord, after he baptized him, the Lord caught him away and sent him 25 miles to another town where he settled. And he raised up a congregation there in that town. That is a catalyst that spans the test of time. This isn't just about a quick thing that sparks and ignites our hearts and compels us to go forward. This is something that spans the test of time. This is something that God is wanting to do, and that he is going to launch forward within us in this season of time. What we've experienced since 2020, what we've been experienced in this season of shaking, is something that is to launch us forward in Him, equipping us not only as a unit, as people that are standing in the gap for a nation, as people that are being trained and developed as intercessors to move mountains if need be, but as individuals, that we will stand the test of time because of the things that we have learned and the things that God is doing within each of us through this most painful season that we're living in right now. The catalyst thrusts you forward. And if you have prepared your heart, and if, like Philip, you are a man who is obedient to the Spirit quickly, heeding the voice of the Spirit to go quickly, you will be used by God. If we're stubborn and we put our heels in the sand, His ability to use us and thrust us forward will be limited. As we move forward into 2022, the season that we're in, it will be a marker in time where we will look back at our lives and say, that's the moment that God drove me to my knees. That's the moment that I grew closer to the Father than I ever knew possible. That's the moment He changed me. That's the moment He transformed me. There are times like this in history that we can look back at and say, that changed history. It changed it. In 1906, I think it is, there was an inventor, Fessenden, and he was studying sound waves. He knew that we could transmit sound. He knew there had to be a way to transmit messages that would be clear, that would be quick. You know, at the time, we were still using Morse code to get messages to ships and such. But he began studying sound waves. And he studied all sorts through this process, short distance, long distance. But he knew if he could get a message out, and if he could have the right equipment, it could carry and go the distance. He was hired by the likes of Edison. He worked with, I think it was Westinghouse or something like that. And the biggest problem he faced was the power that was necessary to transmit the message. So working with the company, they built an alternator, basically the size of a Volkswagen, so that they could get enough power to transmit the sound waves. He knew if he could get the power and get the antenna, they would have something. It took him 2 years. They were not able to actually develop the alternator as he needed. He had to bring it in, work with his assistant, and they redesigned it and such. But it was still, I mean, the size of a Volkswagen. He tested it. He worked it. He tweaked it. He was a brilliant man, truly. And on Christmas Eve of 1906, December 24th of 1906, they sent a message through Morse code to a ship. And the message said, "Be prepared for something great." And through the same radio that the Morse code was transmitted, a few moments later, you could hear a violin and a woman and a small child sing, "Oh, Holy Night." In that small, stinky communications room, the captain and the crew heard, "Oh, Holy Night, the night a Savior is born," broadcast on a naval ship from America. This became a catalyst for communication. We were able to convey messages quickly, clearly, you know, with enough power. This is what happens when you combine the ingenuity, the creativity, really what takes place in the midst of Reformation, witty inventions, Mom has talked about that, with a nation that understands its covenant is with God. And to a naval ship they broadcast, "Oh, Holy Night." That's the beauty of what takes place. Fast forward, and we get a man on the moon. And our astronauts wanted to have communion in space when they landed on the moon. That was something that was very important. They opened up the communication lines, the basis of which is from Fessenden's invention. And they begin to relay their speech. And just as they go to enter into the scripture in communion, because they really wanted it dedicated to the Lord, NASA cut the signal. 60 years. 60 years of decline in a nation where the astronauts continued their communion ceremony and the Earth lost contact. What did that thrust us into? Well, look at the last 60 years. Is that the reason? I can't say that. Would it have been different? We don't know. When I read Psalms 104, and I read every passage of that scripture, it's a catalyst. In my heart, in my mind, I want to climb into that psalm and see the wonder of God and his creation. Why? Because even in that passage of scripture, he says he makes his servants a flaming fire. That is something that is consuming. This is what he's trying to do in this hour, in his servants, in you, the intercessors, in the ministers, in the prophets, in the teachers, in the evangelists, in those that work in the service ministry. He is trying to make us a flaming fire where we burn for him. In all that we do, we are a flaming fire for the Spirit of the Lord, where our obedience will be like Philip's, where when he says, get up and go, we will go, and it doesn't matter that we have to walk 100 miles to meet the man who would take the knowledge, the salvation message back to Ethiopia. And that church still stands today in Ethiopia. Up to 100 years ago, I was able to track that church because that Ethiopian eunuch went back home and took the message of salvation. The Messiah that we have been waiting for has come. And I have that message. Come, brothers and sisters, let me tell you what the prophet Isaiah said and what it means, and begin at that scripture and roll out what Christ did. And they began the church that was not waiting for the Messiah, but the church that found the Messiah. That's a catalyst for something that stood the test of time. He's looking for flaming servants, servants that he can make flaming servants, servants who know the word, servants who are obedient to the word, servants that hear the voice of God, and servants that will go to their face in prayer and stay there until the victory is won, because they know what he has told them, and their obedience to his command is all that matters. This is the season we're in, brothers and sisters, right now. This is the moment that we will be thrust forward in time so great. It will be so profound that if we will hold fast to the precepts in his word, we will hold fast to the spirit of holiness. We will hold fast to the walk of obedience. We can be thrust forward in the spirit to do as he commands, to take this nation, not only this nation across the finish line, because this nation is a covenant nation. A covenant nation. Very few nations are covenant nations. They keep trying to tear us down, but I'm telling you, this nation has stood the test of time because it was ordained by God to be a refuge nation. And if his flaming servants will actually be the flaming servants he's created us to be and release that truth into our nation, we will fulfill that destiny. Not under the cover of darkness, but we will fulfill that destiny, bringing the nations of the earth with us. When the bonds and the foot that seems to be on our neck, breathing down our neck right now, is broken, it will not only be broken off of this nation, it will be broken off the nations of the earth. Because the Spirit of the Lord is going to do that. One by one, it will be broken off the nations of the earth. Because of the exposure that will come, because of the revelation that will come, it will be a catalyst for the nations of the earth. This is what God is calling us to. This. To be engaged with his Spirit. To allow him to make us his ministers, flaming fire for the kingdom of heaven, a catalyst for the kingdom of heaven to be released here on earth. Will you continue to stand? Will you continue the commission? Will you embrace 2022 as your catalyst year to be thrust into the depths of the Spirit of God? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the call. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you that as weary as we can be, as stretched as we feel, there is work being done within each and every one of us. There is work being done collectively as your intercessors. There is work being done. A single sound wave can release a blip on someone's radar. But when you have your intercessors crying out to God, it is a beauty of sound waves that drift up into the heavenlies and sing forth a beautiful song into the throne room of God. When your servants worship you, it is a beautiful song floating up into the throne room of God, where the people cry out, "Holy, holy, holy are you." It is a beautiful orchestra when your people come together and they seek your face, those called by your name. They seek your face. They humble themselves. They pray. They turn from their wicked ways. And, oh, God, what is your response? What comes back to us? It is you leaning your ear down, inclining your ear to our prayers. As you hear from heaven and heal our land. This is the beauty of this united group of intercessors. It's a sweet fragrance unto you. It is a sweet sound unto you. And you hear us. Imprint this on the heart of every intercessor, O Lord, of every child of God that is hearing this within the sound of my voice, those who will listen later. Imprint it, O God, a knowing of the significance of this time that we're in and how you do hear our prayers. You are not turning a deaf ear to our cries, but you are hearing our prayers. Bring forth, Lord God, as you opened up the heart of the Queen of Sheba, the Ethiopian queen, as she came and Solomon spoke truth into her, and as you pulled back, O God, the veil, and she received the revelation of who you were. Father, pull back the veil and let your intercessors receive the revelation of where we are and where you are as you meet us in this fight. Bring a knowing into our hearts, into our minds, into our spirit, man. Bring a knowing of this partnership, oh God, that you have with your precious tender-hearted intercessors. Let it thrust us forward in our relationship with you, in our fight for our family, our cities, our states, our nations. Let this knowing thrust us forward. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name.